2 Corinthians 11:16-21. It's Paul suffering as an apostle. I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say we are too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for opening it up to our minds and our hearts to understand and just speak to our hearts now, Lord, with this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, earlier in chapter 11, Paul wrote these sobering words. Chapter 11, verses 3 through 4. He said, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. The truth is that there has always been no shortage of false teachers who claim to follow Jesus, yet who preach a different Jesus than the one true Jesus. One example from the early church, from early church history, is that of the false teacher Cerinthus, who preached a different Jesus around the region of Ephesus toward the end of the first century. Cerinthus was Gnostic. Gnosticism was an early religious movement that claimed salvation was received through secret knowledge rather than faith in Christ. So in addition to legalism that plagued the early church, there was also Gnosticism that was a really big problem of the times. Gnostics taught that the physical world, the material world, was evil and corrupt. And so that would include the body. The body is also evil and corrupt. In fact, the body is simply a prison for the spirit, or what some call the divine spark. That being the case, according to Gnostics, God could not have truly taken on human flesh, because how could God take on that which is itself evil, which would be the physical body? And so then, as it pertained to Jesus, according to Gnostics, Jesus was a mere human being born to Mary and Joseph through natural means, and that he lived as a mere human being. He was not God at all. He was simply fully man, no deity. However, at his baptism, the divine spirit called the Christ came upon him. And this spirit, the Christ, empowered the human Jesus for his earthly ministry. And this Christ stayed upon the human Jesus throughout his earthly ministry, but departed at the crucifixion, so that only the human Jesus died on the cross, not the Christ. As you can see, in addition to its many other problems, there is this denial of the incarnation, that God the Son took upon human flesh and revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So there is this denial that Jesus was the God-man. There's this denial that the Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, or that Jesus physically rose from the dead. I mean, why would you physically rise into a body that is itself evil according to Gnosticism. That, of course, led to a different Jesus and a different gospel. For if Jesus is not who he claimed to be, truly and fully God, and at the same time truly and fully man, then he could not atone for our sins at the cross. Therefore, the cross itself ends up being meaningless, and the gospel itself, well, it collapses. Accordingly, Gnostics taught that salvation did not come through faith in Christ, but by attaining this secret knowledge, which was revealed to the spiritually elite. So the false teacher Cerinthus, back to that guy, he comes along around Ephesus at the end of the first century, claiming that Jesus was merely a man, that the divine, quote-unquote, Christ only temporarily came upon him but departed before his crucifixion, meaning the Son of God never suffered and died on the cross. Well, there's a story preserved by the early church father Irenaeus that tells that one day the apostle John entered a public bathhouse. But upon entering the public bathhouse, he learned that Cerinthus was inside. And so the apostle John is said to have immediately rushed out and urged others to leave as well. According to the account, John said something like, "Let us flee, lest this building fall down, because Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is inside." In today's time, that would be like walking into a place, recognizing Cerinthus inside, and yelling fire. In fact, today we would probably think that John was bat crazy. But it shows how seriously the early church viewed false teaching about Jesus. They understood that this was not something that was harmless, but that doctrinal error slowly corrupts the faith of a church. Many historians believe that John wrote 2 John as a direct response to Cerinthus. Think about that as I read these words from 2 John verses 7 through 11. Think about that fact that Cerinthus taught that that Jesus was merely human, that the Christ, that he was not truly and fully God. The Christ was not so much in the flesh. And so 2 John verses 7 through 11, John wrote, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in this teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works." Do you get that? Whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Now you can see why John might run out of the bathhouse screaming, "Get out of there, for the enemy of the truth, Cerinthus, is inside." Well, at Corinth, Paul would have had the church respond to the false teachers that had infiltrated their midst in the same manner that John did with Cerinthus. But instead, Paul found the church tolerating false teachers. Again, he wrote in verse 4, "If someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit than the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough." In other words, you tolerate it all the time. In our text this morning, Paul restates that point, this time telling the church that they, listen to this, gladly bear with fools. And notice that they are not, Paul does not simply say that they bear with fools, but that they do so gladly. The term implies that it is their pleasure to bear with fools. And Paul says that as he tells them that he is about to himself play the part of a fool as he himself engages in what Paul says is foolish boasting. The only real boasting that the believer has is to boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Any boasting in ourselves is absolutely foolish. But these false teachers, in addition to their false teaching, boasted of their own talents and knowledge and notoriety and prosperity and the like. And the church was not only putting up with that, but gladly bearing with the fool's boasting. And so Paul says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play the part of a fool to show you how foolish that is. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play the part of a fool to show you how foolish that is. Paul basically says here in verses 16 through 17, I hope you do not actually believe me to be foolish as I engage in this foolishness of boasting, which I remind you is unchristlike. But if you do actually count me as a fool, then gladly bear with me as you already gladly bear with fools. Well, that begs the question for us. How does a church come to gladly bear with fools? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Three things. Number one, I want you to see that the church at Corinth was foolishly confident. They were foolishly confident. In verse 19, Paul says, for you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. The term used there for wise suggests that the Corinthians were conceited in terms of their own wisdom. They were very self-assured that they were indeed wise. And so why would they listen to Paul's evaluation of these false teachers they so admired? They liked what these men had to say. So perhaps Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. Or maybe Paul's just jealous. Maybe that's Paul's problem. But we don't need Paul to tell us anything about these guys. We are wise enough ourselves. Through the years, I found myself on the receiving end of some similar disdain for pointing out that certain popular preachers are dangerous. I had someone write me a scathing email one time because I dared criticize Joel Osteen. Another one even mailed me a Joel Osteen tape and told me I should learn to preach like, oh, Joel, and that would help me out a lot. Well, that's been years ago. How am I doing thus far? But that hasn't just come from pointing out dangerous preachers, but also popular books. I remember getting some stink eye for pointing out that the ever-so-popular book, The Shack, is a landfill of heresy. Ah, but we love it so. Right? And who does Pastor Jeff think he is? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I am the guy that the Lord placed here to love you by preaching the truth and warning you of false teaching. And the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, that your leaders, listen to this, quote, are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. I take that very seriously. That means I will give an account for telling you or not telling you. And you will give an account for listening or not listening. Right? I will give an account for telling you or not telling you. You will give an account for listening or not listening. And I remind you, judge everything I tell you by the word of God. That's what it means to be discerning. Because if you neglect your Bible, you will no longer possess ability to discern truth from error. And this is what happened to the church at Corinth. In fact, they had become so foolishly confident in their own wisdom that they were completely unaware of their own lack of discernment. It seems that the problem of arrogance that Paul rebuked back in 1 Corinthians had only gotten worse. Let's revisit that just to be reminded. So look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 8 through 15. Listen to this rebuke by Paul Paul says sarcastically, already you have all you want. In other words, you've already arrived, haven't you? Already you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings. And I would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us as apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. Oh, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak. Oh, but you are strong, huh? You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. You may further remember that the church possessed a problem with idolizing men. Back in 1 Corinthians, they were divided and split into factions, some claiming to follow Paul and some claiming to follow Apollos, and still others claiming to follow Cephas. Just jot down 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. In your notes and go and look at that later. Paul essentially points that out and says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, unfortunately, the church had perfectly situated themselves to become victims in a cult of personality. Eventually, it became easy to move from I follow Paul or I follow Apollos or I follow Cephas to, well, I follow a guy like Cerinthus the Gnostic. You see, they regarded ministry in terms of not in terms of a person's faithfulness to Christ, but in terms of worldly stature. They valued human personality over gospel purity. And so the popularity of the preacher was far more important than the content of his message. Therefore, measuring a man by what he produces in terms of nickels and noses and the show that he puts on or the entertainment value that he gives or possesses, that all that took center stage over whether or not he was a man of the truth. And since truth had been sacrificed on the altar of fleshly desires, well, then the church ends up with teachers who say what itching ears want to hear. And you end up with a different Jesus and a different gospel. But what does it matter? Because church was so good today. Right? The Spirit was in the place today, man. You know what that usually means today? The music was good. That's usually what people mean when they say this. You could feel the Spirit in there today. Because you know what never follows that? And we could tell because we all recognized that we were wretched sinners and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth and we were calling on the mercy of God to fall upon us. Nah, we just liked the band. That brings forth a question we should ask ourselves. Ask yourself this. Have I become foolishly confident? Am I wise in my own eyes? Have I become blind to my own lack of discernment? Brothers and sisters, heed this warning. The moment that you think yourself immune to the lies of the evil one is the moment the evil one has you right where he wants you. This is one of the reasons it's so vitally important that you be in your Bible constantly. Primarily so that you may hear from God. If you think that you never hear from God, well, consider this. Dust off your Bible, open it and start reading and you will hear from God. You read your Bible primarily to hear from God, but also that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and you may be able to discern truth from error. Listen to these passages of scripture. Jot them down in your notes. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. The writer of Hebrews says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." In other words, if you don't grow up in the faith, then you will not possess the power to distinguish good from evil. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. There Paul wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." In other words, if you're not renewing your mind by the word of God, then you won't be able to discern what is the will of God, what is his good and acceptable and perfect will. And then another scripture, John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. See if you can pick up on his rebuttal to Gnosticism in this passage. 1 John 4, 1 through 6, there he wrote, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Now let's pause there. How are you going to test them? By the word of God, right? "For many false prophets have gone out in the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." I think one of the biggest problems that arose in the church over the last century is that many preachers have warned us to be looking for this Antichrist, this one Antichrist who's supposed to rise there at the end, and have failed to warn us about the many Antichrists that are already among us in the form of false teachers. Do not be foolishly confident. Stay in the word of God and test everything by it. Number two, they were foolishly abused. They were foolishly abused. Verse 20. "For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face." Here Paul lists five abuses that the church has not only been subjected to, but that they themselves have gladly been subjected, right? They remember, they gladly bear this. Now, these five things won't appear on the screen. I'm just lifting them right from verse 20. And so let's look at those five things. The first one is that they had become slaves. Now, this is certainly not how they saw themselves. They no doubt saw themselves as greatly enlightened. Okay? I want you to think about that when you think about the quote-unquote liberal church in America today. They are enslaved. Oh, but they think themselves so enlightened. And since their new teachers were so popular, well, then that made them also popular as followers of the popular one. It used to kind of... I'm going to use an example here, but I'm going to preface that by saying, I've really liked and enjoyed the ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley.
But it used to just really irk me when someone say, I go to Dr. Stanley's church. Right? I go to Dr. Stanley's church. As if somehow Dr. Stanley's notoriety and popularity was rubbing off on you. You see what I'm saying? That's how the Corinthians saw following the popular brand. As they saw it, their status rose with the level of status of the one they followed. And yet Paul tells them they have been enslaved. Because you see, the true Christ sets you free. A false Christ makes you captive to lies. And that is Corinth. How so? Well, they had been enslaved to false teaching. They had been spiritually enslaved to believe a different Jesus and a different gospel. They had become entangled in the evil one's web of lies. In fact, you might think of it this way. They had shackled themselves to these false teachers who were themselves shackled to the old serpent in the garden. Illustrate that for you today. Some of you in this room grew up in a United Methodist Church. Is that correct? Raise your hand. So I know some of you went to a United Methodist Church. Yeah, see. And yet the United Methodist Church today, as a denomination, has become apostate. Even still, I imagine that you know people that attend a United Methodist Church every Sunday sitting under false teaching in an apostate denomination. They attend there, they serve there, they give their offerings there. And you know what? It's America, man. They could leave anytime they want to, but they don't want to. Why? Why don't they want to? Well, that is the type of enslavement Paul is talking about here. They gladly bear with fools. They gladly bear with being spiritually enslaved. I mean, the shackles and chains are so pretty and rainbow colored anyway, right? That'll come home to you later. Number two, they were being devoured. They were being devoured. The idea here is that of being financially consumed, being stripped of their resources. So think about this. Unlike Paul, who intentionally did not take anything from the church at Corinth, these false teachers took and took and took and took and took through means of manipulation. And the church gladly gave and gave and gave and gave. Back in chapter 8, verse 9, Paul said this of Jesus, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you by his poverty might become rich." What does that tell us? That tells us that for our sake, Jesus became spiritually poor. He literally became sin for us, so that by his poverty, we might become spiritually rich. That means to have eternal life, to become adopted children of God. Jesus, that's what he did. In contrast, these false teachers are being made materially rich off the backs of the church that is slowly becoming materially poor. I can't help but think of the old televangelist, particularly the flavor that I grew up remembering on TV in the 80s and 90s, the ones that became dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking rich off of little old widows sending in money they didn't have on the promise that this seed they sow, they're always sowing a seed, ain't they? This seed they sowed would be returned many times over. How many little old grandmothers went without so that a celebrity preacher could buy himself an airplane to supposedly do the Lord's work? They were being devoured. Number three, they were being taken advantage of. The term used here implies trapping or exploiting someone for personal gain. And so the idea here is to seize someone under one's control for one's own purposes. And these false teachers would use whatever means necessary to control you, whether that be flattery or intimidation or emotional pressure or maybe just good old misused spiritual authority. God told me to tell you. If someone ever says, God told me to tell you, ask them to pick up their Bible and show you the chapter and verse of that thing that God told them to tell you. Right? The good old spiritual manipulation. The point is that you exist for them. You are a tool for their own self-promotion. And the moment you cease to be useful, you become disposable. Number four, they were stepping stones. Paul says that the church bears it when someone, the ESV says, puts on airs. Some translations render that exalts himself or pushes himself forward. And so the issue is here is that of self-advancement, which is all these false teachers really cared about. Paul cared about building the church up in the faith. These false teachers cared about building their own following, their own kingdom. The church at Corinth was just another stepping stone, and the church was tolerating leaders who treated them exactly as stepping stone. Someone to stand on while climbing to a higher position. And so instead of shepherding the flock, they were standing on the flock. And then finally, verse number five, they were disrespected. Lastly, Paul says that they bear it when someone, look at this, strikes you in the face. Of course, that did not imply that these false teachers were literally just walking around slapping everybody. That certainly would not go well in Georgia, right? I mean, if you were dumb enough to follow somebody like that, the moment they slapped you, I'm pretty certain that you'd start thinking, right? I'm just thinking that maybe that's the case. So Paul is not talking about the false teachers literally walking around and physically abusing people. He's using it metaphorically. Understand that in the ancient world, being struck in the face was a great sign of dishonor. It was among the greatest insults that one could receive because it communicated shame, contempt, and of course dishonor. So to slap someone in the face was not merely to physically harm, but to insult and to degrade. We might think of it like someone spitting on you. You're not valued as a person, much less a brother or sister in Christ, because you are beneath me. Now you put all that together, and what Paul is saying is that the Corinthians were tolerating leaders, blindly tolerating leaders that enslaved them, exploited them, manipulated them, exalted themselves, and even humiliated them. And yet the church admired their worldly qualities so much that they failed to recognize spiritual abuse. And Paul's rebuke is clear. When the church loses discernment, it may gladly bear with the very leaders who harmed them. Now don't miss this. The problem ends up not being so much the presence of the false teachers, but the toleration of the church. They were not being unwillingly abused. They were gladly bearing it. And that brings us to the final point today. They were foolishly blind. Verse 21. Paul said, "To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that." Now this is sarcasm at its finest. Paul says, "To my shame, well, we were too weak for that. We were too weak to enslave you. We were too weak to exploit you, too weak to manipulate you, too weak to use you as stepping stones, too weak to slap you across the face. We were just too weak for that." See, the church was so caught up in the false teachers that they had become blind to the old apostle who had loved them and who had sought their good in Christ. In fact, they had lost sight of Christ himself, because Christ himself had not enslaved them. Christ himself had not exploited them, manipulated them, used them as stepping stones, nor slapped them in the face. But instead, as Paul said in Philippians 2, this Jesus, being in very nature God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The one true Christ takes away your shackles and chains and sets you free in him. The real Christ loved you so much that he willingly stepped out of heaven, taking on the form of the man, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And this Jesus lived and died for you so that you could find forgiveness for your sins and eternal life in him. And my friends, the evil one wants you blind to this Christ. On Wednesday evening, in our Bible study group, we were studying Acts chapter 9, the transformation of Saul, later known as the Apostle Paul. And what we saw there was that on the road to Damascus to arrest anyone who claimed to be a follower of Jesus, this Jesus-hating, church-hating Saul, well, Jesus appeared to him on that road and caused him to go blind with something like scales over his eyes. Scales that fell off when Ananias, sent by Jesus, came and bore witness of Christ to Paul. Those scales on Paul's eyes were reminiscent of the spiritual blindness that so consumed Saul. That spiritual blindness is where the evil one wants you trapped forever. In this same 2 Corinthians, back in chapter 4, you might remember Paul saying this, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Now, before I read this next verse, what do you think about that? The God of the world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. How does that blindness go away? Verse 6. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In conclusion, I would say, brothers and sisters, let no one take you captive. It's so easy to be taken captive if you're not being discerning. Measure everything by the word of God. Measure that quote unquote good book. All right. That everyone's reading and seem to love. All right. That preacher that's on TV, that preacher that stands here. You measure everything he says by the word of God. Let no one enslave you. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 through 15, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Oh, brothers, sisters, let no one take you captive. Now, maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, let me tell you today, you come to Christ and have the blinders of your heart removed. Come today and experience the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the one and only Savior, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. If you don't know Christ, I would encourage you right now, where you're at, to cry out to him in prayer, to agree with God that you are a sinner and call on Christ to save you. He promises in his word that he will. He will save you to the uttermost. He will make you to become a child of the living God if you will but call to him. My friend, I plead with you to do that today. Don't let the evil one keep you shackled. Come to the Christ who sets you free. And brothers and sisters, let's not be taken captive by our own foolish wisdom. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us to wonder. Lord, you have given us your word, Lord. Thank you for your word. Anything that does not align with your word, Lord, you have not said. Lord, may we be people of this word, people of this truth. And Lord, may we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.